Hi dear movie breakers, here's Lita again, and I'm still in Locarno, and I'm there with a new director, a new movie, and it's again in competition. We are talking today to Balint Zimler.
Hi.
And he has a fantastic movie here. I've seen it. I didn't expect anything super particular, and I was so blown away that I thought, like, I have to interview this guy. So last minute interview, and it worked. So many thanks that you are here, that you made it happen.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is your first feature film, and it's a school story that starts quite sweet and natural, also a bit documentary style, but then it becomes much, much more. How did you develop that?
Yeah, that was the idea, actually. That was exactly how we approached it, that I wanted to be, you know, in the beginning a little bit funny and easygoing, and as we go into it, so you laugh at the beginning and you laugh sort of less towards the end. It's, in a way, it's very, it has a lot of culture references because, you know, we all grew up in a school like this in Hungary and probably Eastern Europe everywhere. Sorry. And I wanted to focus on that in the beginning and then eventually go more deep into the story.
So the story, the national title is Lesson Learned, but original Hungarian title is Fekete Pont, and it means something like a black point, but I asked a Hungarian colleague and she told me it can also mean something like something that disturbs you, that's somewhere where it shouldn't be and you kind of wanted to get away.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is a very good metaphor for what's going on in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. That was the idea to have, because it's, if you, as a punishment, you can get a black point if you didn't do your homework, if you did something wrong in the class and whatever. So you can get a black point and you collect your black points and you get a bigger punishment eventually. So that's how, that's what they do in the school. And also, it could also mean that it's a black mark on someone's, you know, something in society and something in the educational system. And it's also, in a way, a black hole. In our life or something like that. It's metaphorical.
The story focuses on two, or kind of zooms in on two particular characters, and one is a young boy who's called Palko, and he's the new kid in class. He lived for a while in Berlin in a more like easygoing environment. Now he's back in Hungary and has to learn how to fit in with the other kids. The other is a substitute teacher. She's very young and she's a little bit more progressive. She has more like liberal modern ideas about education. She wants to take the kids serious, take their opinion serious, teach them free thinking. And both are not wanted that way in the school. Both have to learn how to fit in very violently, and it kind of crushes them. And I wanted to ask you, how much of that what we see, for example, those rules where every kid has to wear the same color t-shirt, which is not just a rule, but in itself, again, a metaphor for fitting in. And if you don't wear the t-shirt, of course, you're punished. How much of that is based in your own experience or in reality, and how much is made up?
A lot of things are based on my own experience, but it was never an idea to tell my own story throughout the film. So it was just like something that we can build on. So I lived in the U.S. until I was 9 years old, and I came back home to Hungary, and it was kind of a culture shock for me. I loved to go to school in the U.S., and I really hated it in Hungary. And it was because of these kind of ideas of different approaches in education. So in that way, that was from my own experience, not bringing the t-shirt to school whenever you need it. Just you know, doing something bad that I didn't know was bad to do, like talking in class. In the U.S., they would make us talk, they would ask our opinions, and in Hungary, they would want us to be silent. And just, you know, the teacher approach, like stepping into the classroom in one of the first scenes, explains a lot about the differences, for me at least, about the school system in the U.S. or in Hungary. So that part was inspired by my own life, but it was never a goal to tell a story about myself. It was always a goal to you know, tell stories about something bigger. And that was the only, and also there is this idea that the obstacle race part, there's an obstacle race in the film, and Balco gives a name for its team and gives a name that one of the teachers doesn't appreciate. That happened to me back in the day, because I found it funny and they didn't.
Yeah, that kids do things that for them are innocent, and the adults then interpret something in it which is much bigger and maybe never was on the kid's mind. Like the sports teacher, feels personally attacked by this name, and probably Palko just made it up because he thought, oh, it's a funny name, you know?
Exactly.
And never wanted it to be like a personal attack on anybody. And you said already that it's become something bigger, and we also, or my impression was that this school is also kind of a metaphor for society, the whole Hungarian society, or maybe not only Hungarian, because I went to school in Germany and I could identify with many, many things where kids are not supposed to think, where you're just supposed to learn selectively. For example, when then it's about kids have to learn poetry, then the teacher picks a poem that's more rebellious, while the other teachers, the conventional teachers, pick poems that are conformist and just like boring. So this kind of selective curriculum where you learn to see the world in a particular way that fits your ideological view. How deep did you go into this political issue, and how much were you involved in the current day politics of Hungary then?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard not to be involved now in Hungary, because it's kind of climbing in your window at night. It's like it's everywhere. It's gotten into film as well. So the Film Foundation in Hungary is basically led by somebody who's very influenced by a political party. So now most of a lot of filmmakers are cut off of making a film just because they don't support the ideas of the government. So it's kind of all over the place, and it's really hard not to talk about it, and hard not to reflect on it. And it also was sort of a motivation for me as well, because I felt like it's time to stand up and it's time to do something about it. I'm not sure that, you know, it's gonna have a big effect on society in this sense, but you know, as much as I can do, I'd like to do to change this. But I mean, in the film, we tried to tell this story through like really tell a human story very much, and not reflect directly on politics, just the general feel of society, just the general ideas and problematics of the problems of Hungarian society, and kind of how people react. I mean, there are so many forms of oppression, and we all know that, but the question is how we, you know, react to that, how we do something against it or not do something against it. So there are so many scenes in this film which had this idea of kind of, you know, looking into how people react to oppression and how it affects others. Like, for example, the parent meeting, which is in the end of the film, just things that are happening to Balko, the sports teacher overreach in this sense, and it deals with a lot of these ideas, and it's probably coming from the feeling that you have in Hungary right now, that of the being oppressed, and you know, you have to stay silent, you shouldn't do anything because you're going to come out the wrong end of the whole thing. So it's pretty much influenced, but I always wanted to tell a story about the human story, like about human beings and this.
And it's also so emotionally resonant because of the strong acting. And I just want to ask, like, first, how did you find that little boy? I think he's called Paul Matisz, that plays the little Palko.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like just a natural, you know, and so strong. And are all the kids just like real school kids? And how many of the kids are actually actors?
They're all, most of the people in the film are non-actors. Another main character, who is the teacher, she's an actor, but all the others I think there are two or three more actors. All the other are civilians. They've never played a role at all in anything. And especially the children, so they might have never had these kind of experiences before. I started writing the script in March. I had the first sort of draft in May, and we started pre-production in May when I wasn't even ready with the script, so it kind of worked out organically. I was still writing a script when we were casting, and I knew I wanted to shoot in the summer, so we had like 1.5 months for casting, and we had to cast like a whole class. A whole teacher department, like people in the parent meeting, all the other extra characters or additional cast. So we had 1.5 months to. I mean, we looked at I think 1,200 children in this time. 600 of them who actually came in, and we had a casting with them. So it was very intense, and we had to trust our intuition in a lot of times during the casting. So, and Fatio had, you know, who's the casting director. We were working very much together at this time. So she came up with the idea that she's partially living in Berlin and in Hungary, and her friend's child was Falco, and she suggested him to be the main actor. But it was also very, I always wanted to approach this whole film that I knew I wanted to create the scenes with improv, so all the actors were improvising in the scenes. I never even showed the script to most of them, so they never learned lines at all, and I created this situation for them to take part in, basically. I gave them motivations in a way. They knew where the scene is supposed to go, and they knew the idea of the whole story, I mean the scene itself, and they kind of navigated inside the film in a sense, and it was all improv most of the scenes. So I think that helped immensely with the child acting as well. They could just be themselves in a way, and I would just give them like motivations, and they could follow through with how they would do it and not how I wanted them to do it in a way.
And it works out incredibly well. It really takes you back to your own school days, and it all is so natural, as I said, that it could be almost documentary style. And what also at least took me back to my school days was this school is basically falling apart, which of course is also a metaphor for the broken education system. But it, on the other hand, it also kind of shows that the teachers have so much to come up with. They have to deal with all those things which are broken, if the projector isn't working, if the windows are falling out, if there's no working computer in class, and somehow they still have to teach the kids stuff. So it's not like that all the teachers would be presented as evil or they want to suppress the kids, but they just kind of have to make everyday work. And it's kind of also understandably that after maybe 10 or 20 years you lose your motivation. And first, yes. Like, is this a real school? How did you find it? And were schools in Hungary also broken like that? Because in Germany in the 90s and zeros, they definitely were. They definitely looked like that.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the school that we chose is in good shape, actually. So it's usually not like this. It's not as good as this school. So the school system, it was centralized by the government in 10 years ago. So every school lost its own autonomy, and they kind of have to apply for everything, even chalk for the board, for toilet paper, for everything. So they don't have their own money, they don't have their own budget, and they can't, make their own decisions because it's centralized in that sense. And since then, the school situation got a lot worse, and schools are practically falling apart. Actually, there is this window scene when the window falls out. I stole that idea because I saw an interview with a teacher who told that story in a situation, and he said that actually the window fell out with its case. and they couldn't fix it. They asked, you know, asked someone to fix it, who said all the windows should be fixed, otherwise they're all gonna fall out. And then eventually a parent gave some money and they could fix it eventually. But that was a story that actually happened in a Hungarian school, and I kind of built that into the film. But I didn't really want to, you know, I wanted to talk about the humorous part of that idea, and not, and it is a metaphor, obviously, but it's maybe not so heavy in this sense, and because it's, you know, not having money is not the only problem in the system. It's the idea of how they teach, but and also what you just said about teachers being like basically heroes and fixing the school and fixing everything basically, and still keeping up. I mean, that was something that I really, you know, came across when I was looking into the school system in Hungary, and I could also go into classes sometimes and watch how they teach and be with the children, be around, you know, the school. And obviously the system, it has a lot of problems, but all the teachers and these, and that was a big issue, how we can talk about the problematics of the school system without dissing the teachers and without saying bad things about the teachers, because they are actually, you know, heroes in this environment, still keeping it moving somehow. And so that was very important to balance that sort of, so it's not, you know, we're not talking bad things about the teachers at all.
And about in the second act of the movie, you make a very daring decision. You show this theater play, which the kids stage. And the amazing thing is we almost see, well, not all the play, because the play probably would run an hour, but we see a very big part of this play actually playing out in real time with the kids, like a kids stage show in school. And of course, the play also has some metaphorical, symbolical aspects that fit into and link into the story. And I found it very daring that you did that. Did you have doubts about it? Was it easy to keep that part in the project? Because actually, during the press screening, some people went out during that scene. But I still think that it's good, because the audience needs to be challenged. A film shouldn't always be cozy. Sometimes audiences need to be challenged.
I agree completely. I'm kind of fed up with all the, you know, everything coming in the window, like Netflix and everything. So it's too much to process for me, and that's why people, it's easier to watch something that just, you know, goes through you like McDonald's food.
Yeah, like, and feel good.
Yeah. It's good, and then you don't remember it next day, basically, and it's getting more and more like that now, and it's hard for me to, it's hard to watch anything like that anymore, and it feels overwhelming, and that's why, you know, I it was a debate to have that scene or not. I always had the idea to do that, and especially because we shot that later on, so we can shoot that in the school, and then the main shooting time, we had to prepare it and shoot it in one day later on in, I don't know, November, maybe January. So we were very dedicated to do it, and we shot it later on when the film was almost like in editing and almost finished at the time. And we didn't, you know, we weren't missing a scene like that, but we still wanted to. I mean, I still wanted to shoot it. And when I added that, there was a big debate. We had like test screenings, and a lot of people said that they don't miss it at all, and some people said that they do, they love it. But it was the same. I think at the end of the day, that was the idea that I had. I mean, it, you know, you need to be challenged sometimes, and I also like when a film surprises me in that way. Some people don't, obviously, and I know that it's really going to be controversial in that sense. But I like it.
Yeah, I'm also very glad that you kept it in this scene. And there's another scene that even stronger resonated with me, and that's this kind of PTA meeting where the parents of the kids are called to meet with that younger teacher. Since they planned a class trip, and one of the parents is too poor to afford the class trip, so the question is that will the whole class trip be cancelled and substituted by minor activities, or will they do the class trip without this one kid? And then we see that intense classist shaming of this one parent, who simply, even though she works all the time, cannot afford to send her kid on a class trip. And did you experience situations like that? Because for me, this is just like what I experienced when I was a kid. Like, I was the poor kid in class, and this is really how it happens, you know? That it's like they pretend they want to give you money, but they don't want to give you money, and they blame you for giving you money. And if you don't step back yourself and say like, oh, I just go without me, I'm fine, I'm great, then you're just continuously shamed. And did you experience something like that, or did you hear about it?
Yeah, I'm not myself, but I worked. I experienced. Before the film, I did a show. It's part of sort of a TV show, but it was on YouTube because we made a show about people talking about their lives, and I experienced a lot of stories like that. But it's, I was looking for someone who did actually experience that. So Anna, the main character in that scene, was a different casting from all the rest because it was very, it was very hard to find someone who could talk about her experience in that way. We wouldn't feel cornered if we would ask her to talk about her experience and be, you know, put her in a situation that she has to relive something that, you know, happened to her already. So it was a fragile subject, and so I had someone dedicated to find, you know, go to NGOs and service or social services that people like this who had this experience in their life. Would be, and we found Anna, who's over it now, so it's her past, what she talks about in the film, but it is actually her story, and she, you know, she can still get emotional if she talks about it, but she gives speeches to in these social service centers, so she really, you know, she really wants to talk about her story. So myself, I didn't experience it directly, but I did, you know, I did work with a lot of people who did, and I heard a lot of stories like this.
How do you think will this movie be received by the Hungarian society, and how would you hope it would be received?
That's a good question. I'm hoping it, you know, that people would watch it and they wouldn't. I think it's very much a collective memory for everybody, and it's still happening, so it's, you know, it's the same as it was when I was a kid and same as it is now, and I'm hoping of, you know, that aspect that really resonates with everyone who takes their time to go and watch it in the movies, in the theaters. I think, you know, that part that it's sort of heavy and it's sort of a mirror for society. I think that's something that Hungarians don't like so much when they go to movies or anywhere probably in the world. So that could be a problem. But I think it, with the humor in it and the collective, you know, memory and feel of it, that might work, I hope.
It definitely works very well. Just the one question. Do you have already any ideas for a new movie? Are you working on something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about moving to the U.S. So I'm thinking, I have an idea for a film, but that would be for like a U.S. film or based in the U.S. Can't say much about it yet, but you know, I'm forming an idea. But it's also hard because I'm pretty much influenced by the things that I, you know, experience in my life and the place that I am in. So whenever I'm there, I think I'm gonna feel it more, what the film is. In between things now.
Well, Fekete Pond, Lesson Learned is still at Locarno Film Festival. If you're not here, we are informing you if it will have a German release. If it doesn't get one, you just have to find it on some streaming device, because this is really a great movie. Thank you so much to Balint Zimler for this great interview. And yeah, I hope you win the Golden Leopard, because this was really the best thing I've seen so far, and I've seen like 40 movies. So
thank you so much.
It's a significant portion. So thank you.
Thank you so much.